The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
The dawning of God's day. It's a serious season that is announcing and defining the time that we are in. I'm sure that with us in the body of Christ, we are used to the issue of God's day. The day of the Lord, the day of God, somehow it's not something that we that is strange to us, either in mention in mention in reading scriptures. It's something that we have found so profoundly mentioned over and over in the, you know, among us. Praise the Lord. But the Lord just began to draw our hearts, like you're going to see in the handbill. You see, dawning becomes our emphasis in this year's meeting. The dawning of God's day. The dawning of God's day. And I want to trust the Lord that heaven is said to really help us, because if that space is not understood and captured, the issue of God's day will be an illusion. It will be a thing that we just make mention of, and all of that, we may not be able to rightly position ourselves along line with God's determination for that. One thing that yesterday that I enjoy and I like was the fact that I think it was Pastor James, or I don't know who, mentioned the fact that all of these things is not about an event. You know, in those days when we study Revelation or eschatology, it's always much more about events. And when we read scriptures, generally speaking, events are more captivating because they are somehow historic, and they appeal first of all to the senses. You know, praise God. Amen. Please let me to welcome my daddy and our family, Pastor Fenola, in the house this morning. You're welcome, sir. Thank you very much, sir, for coming this morning. Daddy was around yesterday morning. It was the third morning meeting started for him yesterday. So he was the only one that attended yesterday's church. Amen. Praise God. So thank you, sir, for coming again this morning. Amen. Praise God. You know, most of the time when we read the scriptures, we capture much more the historic events in scriptures. And that's why when you just knowledge in schools, it's much more about the events in scriptures, right? In those days, they will ask you, when we're doing a CRS in secondary school, they will ask you, they will make it a quote in our days. No. Who said it? To whom? In what occasion? That was the way Christian religious knowledge was taught in those days. So, all you need to do is to read the Bible, and every statement there, who said it? To whom? In what occasion? Once you just know that, you are an excellent CRS student. You're going to have A1 easily. Amen. Because when you read through the Bible as historic as perspective, when you read through historic perspective, you are supposed to know characters, know about the events there and all of that. And sometimes when we read the scriptures, that is the mind in which you read it. And so the first appealing things in scriptures are things that bump to us. So when you read about eschatology, about coming of Christ, all of that, we see much about the Antichrist, wahala, you know. And each time we go to teach eschatology, fear will be everywhere. What's the fear? The fear of what the devil can do. Amen. Praise the Lord. The fear of the Antichrist, the fear of not being able to go and buy and sell, the fear of the falling of the aircraft, the jamming of the. I think you have watched films like that before. Film that has to do with Left Behind. Left Behind. You know? Tim LaHaye is a master in that area. Amen. And everything is captured with the American perspective. I see the Bible was written for America. I'm saying, praise God. You know, one thing the American preachers have not been able to do is to look away from America, to see a global perspective. They have been locked up with the American mind, American civilization, and that's how the whole world runs. Praise God. So when that is pumped to us here, it's just like a dread, and we are wondering, how will you survive? You know, the Antichrist pumping to every house, arresting every third day, and they're forcing everyone to receive the mark of the beast. You know? But the Bible is not written for the natural human mind. Anybody who reads the Bible without being born again, we see all of that. Are we together, please? It's written for a people. It's a spiritual coded material. That's why those things you come without access, you just go with the material, and you think you have picked something. Remember, you have picked nothing. You have picked the things they put there to cause confusion, to turn to either dither, you know. At the gate of the tree of life, Bible says that he sent them out of that gate, and he put a cherubim at the gate that who has a flaming sword that turn either dither. That's to tell men, there's no way here. The one that will get you the way is not yet revealed. Amen. So any attempt to come into this garden, you are going to be turned here, there, with a very forceful power of cherubims. Amen. Amen. And when cherubim confuse you, you are confused. You know, the one that I was falling, that is confused in the world, is still confused in the world today. So imagine the ones that God himself placed. The confusion is authorized from heaven. Amen. I went in the house place. So that's been the effort that has engineered so much of religion on the earth here. Religion. Every effort of man to access the tree of life is impossible without the one who has the keys of David. Amen. Who is called the bright and the morning star. Praise God. So I'm trusting the Lord that I'm going to come down today. Lord Jesus, help me to come down. Amen. Second epistle of Peter. Let me just do a read. I'm going to read the whole of chapter 1. That's a long read. Well, I think I need to do that. So that I can put us in perspective of this epistle of Peter, which is aligning epistles connecting Paul's writing to John's writing. The second epistle of Peter was an epistle that is supposed to help men to go through Paul's writings, so they can arrive well. So let's start from chapter 1 today. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That place already tells us that this writing was not to beginners. Was not to those who are just born again. Yeah, it's a writing to those who have made progress, who have obtained like precious faith. When you talk about the like precious faith, it was describing the faith of the Son of God, the faith of Christ, the faith of the resurrected one, the faith of God's righteousness. That's why he has to describe it as through the righteousness of God, which is describing the faith, which is the power of God unto salvation. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for there's a power of God unto salvation. It's God's power. It is needed for those who want to make progress to salvation. It's not the salvation itself. It's the power. It's the dynamo that is meant to power men who are traveling on the journey to salvation. Amen. So I just go that salvation is not as simply said as before, that, you know, be saved, give a life to Christ, and you are saved. No, you are not really saved. You are just being brought into a path where you can journey on to salvation. Salvation is at the last time. Salvation is at the last, is at the last time. And there are several times before the last times. You know, I think just Peter, in preaching in the book of Acts, I described times of refreshing, that God has taken Jesus, whom he will give back again at the time of refreshing that will be sent from the presence of the Lord. So God has allotted times. After he has taken Jesus, he has distributed times of refreshing that will come from the presence of the Lord. Okay? Amen. And all those times is the giving of Jesus. What did I say? Each of those times is what? I can't hear you say it. It's giving, you will be giving Jesus. It's giving Jesus. So when he sent the Holy Ghost, who did he send? He gave Jesus. It's the Jesus who came in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. After the coming in the through the Holy Ghost, there was still coming of Jesus. It is Jesus is sending. So time of refreshing is the sending of Jesus, is the appearance of Jesus, or is the knowing of Jesus. Amen. So Jesus to be known from time to time. What did I say? A time is not enough to capture to know Jesus. No, who is called Jesus is massive. It's massive. So there are calibrated times and time and time. And if they send him at once, you won't know him. You won't know him. The level of light that will come will be heavy for anybody to capture him. So they have to calibrate times and send Jesus. Amen. I want to believe that they are sending Jesus again to us. Amen. I said they have sent Jesus and they are sending him again to us. I now remember that. No wonder for the churches at the point where these things are not understood, each time they want to send Jesus, it looked like it is the end of time. I've been there in the past, like 30, 40 years. Those who have been in the faith for 30, 40 years, there's always like as if Jesus wants to appear. As if he wants to. So they translate that to mean rapture. And people do all manner of things in line with that. Some will go and sell their properties, waiting for Jesus to come and take them away. No, they are sending a season. And the season is bringing a sense of feeling or sense of awareness that is not understood in the heart. You know, sometimes you have a feeling, you can't interpret it. Do you know that? You just have a feeling, you have a feeling. But you can't, after the thing has, light has come, oh, no wonder, that's why I've been having this feeling. So most of the time, they just interpret the feeling in the wrong way. They think it's rapture, but it's just Jesus, God sending Jesus again. It's just been sent again with times of refreshing. And it's looking as if he's coming. After he's coming, he's appearing again. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So the heaven must receive Jesus until all the times of the refreshings that have been spoken by the prophets are calibrated by the mouth of the prophet are fully fulfilled. And we must be ready to receive Jesus. Amen. Amen. Are we in the house, please? What did I say? Yeah, we must learn how to receive Jesus. So here is telling us that those who have received like precious faith have received Jesus' faith. Or we call it Christ's faith. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation is the power that is needed for everyone, to everyone that believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. So you can see this one have received precious, like precious faith, like they also received. All the apostles received that faith. Praise God. And when they heard this, Peter received that faith, Paul received that faith, John received that faith, Jude received that faith. So these churches here, these Jews scattered abroad, also have received that faith. How was it received? By the revelation of God's righteousness from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So everyone who is just must live by that faith. So when you receive that faith, then you live by that faith. Hallelujah. I went to the house together, please. So here, so he's telling us, with us through the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God here? The faith of Christ, or the power of Christ. The power of God unto salvation. Is the faith here? Is the precious faith here? Or is the righteousness of God in this place? Are we right together, please? Are you confused? Praise God. Amen. So, it's not everyone who's born again who have received that faith. When you are born again, you receive faith to be quickened in your spirit. That's the faith. It is grace. That's what Ephesians talks about. Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Now, through our believing, God has to give us a gift. That gift also is called righteousness. That gift is what gave us that quickening, or that saved us from the dead. That quickened our spirit from the dead. For by that grace are you saved through faith. So that faith was given. It's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. So that faith does not need knowledge. Does not need revelation. It was through preaching that it was imputed to us. That's why somebody for 2 years can be hearing the message, can be hearing God's word, and he doesn't have faith to get born again. He will come to meeting and go away. There are some people who push him, go out and give a letter to Christ. Pushing does not give him that faith. Are we in the house, please? And sometimes, you know, we go with our children, our parents take us in those days to meetings, and you want the child to be born again by all means. Oh my, Lord, by year. You have been praying for that child for a long time. So when they make up that cause, you push him out. Go and join them. No, pushing him does not ignite that faith. That faith is by hearing. Are we right? When he hears Jesus being preached, they give that gift to him. So until that gift comes, he doesn't have what it takes to respond. Even if he comes out, nothing has happened inside of him. But you can be seated where you are without coming out, and the gift is given. Are we in the house, please? That's what happened in the days. So, into Cornelius in those days, Peter got there. He had not come to start. God has prepared their heart, because that man has a measure of good work that he was doing, and God saw his works. And God said, it is time for salvation to come to that house. And he sent Peter. Peter got there, he was just talking and talking and talking and talking. Before you know what happened, the Holy Ghost rest on them. And God told Peter, it's because their heart has been purified by faith. It means that they had believed. For they received the Holy Ghost. So he says it's a gift. So it's not in the amount of the message you preach. A preacher can even preach the Bible wrongly. You see, when James and John were coming from the farm and they met Jesus, as long as they caught Jesus there, right? I went to the house, please. You know, that does not need accuracy of the Bible. You just need Jesus to be mentioned as the one who can save, right? Amen. And he will respond, and he saved. He's born again. God is waiting for quickening. He wants to quicken men from the dead. Praise God. So Peter had to explain that for a long time. If it didn't happen through Peter, nobody could have done that. They would have invalidated our experience. If it was James or anybody who went to go and give the Holy Ghost to Gentiles, and you come back to Jerusalem and tell them that the same gift that we received, it's what the agenda received. They will tell you, that's your own work. So God took their leader, Peter, for that job. Amen. Because you need to change their mindset. You know, up to now in some places, you know, people don't believe that when you are born again, you can receive the Holy Ghost in the next moment. They don't believe it. There can be a Holy Ghost. That the Holy Spirit from God is too holy to behold. No, it's not by your works. It is a gift. When they give you a gift, they don't ask for your work. Is that right? If it's by your work, then you have to pay. You are qualified for it. It's a reward. It's not a reward. It's a gift imputed to us. Praise God. So, that you have that does not mean you have this righteousness. You need to come to knowledge. You need to come to understanding, to revelation of Jesus Christ, before you can have this precious faith. I'm trying to say that Peter wrote this letter to those who have obtained like precious faith. And he said, with us, it's our kind of faith they received. Amen. We need this background to understand why Peter had to write this letter. No, he had written to them the first epistle. Okay? And the first epistle, he was confirming what their faith has gone through. And it was affirming that it was precious. Why? It was tried. It was tried. Their faith was tried. Can you see what I'm saying? And it was found to be more precious than gold. Can you see that? So that faith was approved to be precious. When it is precious, it can go through fire. That's how to show that it is precious. If you want to see your carat of gold, it's how much fire can go through. If it's not having enough carat in intense fire, it will disappear. So, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, it has been tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. So this faith is for a purpose. It has a future. Amen. That it can stand the next process, the appearing of Jesus. So here, he needed to write to them again to make it clear what he was talking about. He has to make it clear to them. So let's quickly run through this. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord and of Jesus our Lord. According as the divine power has given unto us all things, the divine power is still the same power of faith, okay? Amen. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by this, so it means that these promises, you can't have access to them if you have not gone through a process. Amen. You will have them, but it won't be realized, it won't come alive until you have gone through the process, whereby are given unto us in this process exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, maybe we are going to have a chance to go back to that. Other ministers will do that as we go on this meeting. But let's go on. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Besides this, giving all diligence. So it means that in the process of escaping corruption, there are things that should be noted there, that must be attended to there as a dealing that promises is to do. Amen. Now, it means that you are going to watch out for this. Add to your faith. Can you see that? To your precious faith. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you. So there are things that are expected to be formed in the process. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it means that while they have these things, they have not come into the realm of fruitfulness in the knowledge. They have just gone through a process of building. A thing has started in their life, but they have not come to a point where they can be fruitful in it. These things must be in you and must abound. If they are in you and they are bound, they make you. So they are materials for making. They are materials for formation. There's needed for a being to emerge in this process. This being that will emerge is the one that can be fruitful in the knowledge. Can you see that? So it's not easy to bear fruit of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. What did I say? Come on, say it again. Can you see what Peter listed there? Having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience. These are not, and to patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. If this, now that you have them, it's not enough. If these things are in you and they are bad, if you have little of them, you'll be rejoicing, right? Huh? Are we in the house, please? You have come to little patience, but dealing of God, and through the faith of Christ, He has wrought patience in you. You'll be glad for it. If you have come to a place where you are able to bear your brother, and you have come to a realm of brotherly kindness, you know, being able to see, to be part of the feeling of your brother and all that he's going through, and not judge him in his affliction. I'm saying, are we right together, please? Or we have a tendency of judging ourselves when we're in affliction. You're going to see what is not doing right. Are we right? When there's no problem, you won't see anything that's wrong with that person. So instead of being part of his process, all of that brotherly kindness and all of that, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For example, if you have a charity coming out of you gradually, you feel like you are on top of the world. But see, it's not enough. If they are in you, right? And they are bound. Then, when they are bound, what happens? They are able to make you. So if they don't abound, they don't make you. So our changing, our transformation is in the abounding. Because there's a being, it's not just, they're not just watching for all these things. There's a being that should come out of this process. They want to receive a person out of the process. So that person actually is what they are waiting for. It's like you are going through, you want to make a product, you want to make your bread, and you have bought all the material of the bread, you have gotten your, amen, you have gotten your recipe for it, you have gotten your baker, all of that, and you have gotten all the equipment for it, and now let bread be produced. Well, after you have bought all of that, you are waiting for the what? For the product. Right? You can't sell your flour. You bought flour. You can't sell your sugar. You didn't buy sugar to sell sugar. You bought sugar to sell bread. And so what's going to make a difference in your bread is how it has gone through that process. When you get the bread and it feels like the bread you have in mind, wow. Then you cannot appreciate the baker for what he has done. No matter how much they have told you how skillful he is, how wonderful he is, it's in the product. So in all of this, there's a product they are looking for. There's the nature they are looking for. And why? Because the next process is very, very important for this. If it does not meet up with the standard, it can access the next process. Are we in the house, please? Hallelujah. I like that. If these things be in you, since I saw these things, my pursuit of God and my perspective change. I stop overlooking every small thing anymore, because to change a man is not easy. It's only God that can do that. And so that's why he's a savior. He knows how to bring forth that change in us. There's this place in the book of Hebrews, Paul said, having, you know, after you have done the will of God, you need patience. No, you know, it's not before you have done the will of God. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, if you have not done God's will, you will be praying, Lord, help me to do God's will, right? But this one, after you have done God's will, you are now going to need patience that can position you to receive the promise. So in their mind, the promise is what they are looking for. The promise is the reason for all of the will of God, all of the patience. Praise God. Are we together? Amen. See verse 9. Are you there? Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten. So, these are like these things in the measure that they expect. So it means that what they expect to come out of this process should be a man that can sight. So I now remember in the gospel, Jesus said to Nicodemus, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. So it means that the kingdom really is far. And the kingdom is the realm that seems inaccessible. The reason, so it doesn't mean that when you are born again that you have seen the kingdom. It means that you are enlisted to see. But they are not telling us how a man that will see the kingdom will be raised. So this is a school of process of how to raise the man that can see. Though you can see, you may not see. Yeah, you can see, you have 5 credits from your whole level. You are qualified to be in the university, but it doesn't mean you are in the university. There are things you still need to do to ensure that you are enlisted in the university. So we can rejoice with you and say, wow, he has 5 distinctions. Wow, it's with the mind that you will fulfill the condition for admission into a university program. Amen. So if any man lacketh these things, this man is blind. So a man can be a Christian that is in a dimension. Now, let me tell you, a man who has these things, who has some of these things, is a great man in church. A brother who is born again, since born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's learned righteousness. He's learned to live by the faith of the Son of God. He's being justified by that faith. It means that he's not being justified by his work. It is that faith that is making him right. Amen. He's not approving himself anymore. It is what the faith says is right that's approving him. I'm going to say, his flesh is falling off. He's not living by the flesh anymore. He's not living by his sight anymore. He's living by the revelation of the Son of God, of the Christ of God. All of that. This man has acquired certain age in the spirit. This brother has gathered level of dealing for patience to be wrought. Patience is not easy. To be patient by the Spirit, by Christ. Let's see Romans 5. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access by faith, that's the grace of Christ wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we are glory in tribulation. He's telling the process, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So a man to attain patience, he has gone through a mere tribulation. This man has been troubled. And when he was troubled, he was not delivered from that trouble. They allowed him to go through trouble. And he responded to the trouble by faith of Christ. Sometimes the world is speaking evil of him, they're accusing him, it's not letting go. You know what the Lord is working inside of him? I went in the house, please. It's not changing standard. It's not changing perspective. It's not changing company. It's not responding to what they are saying. He knows what the Lord is doing. So for a man to arrive at patience, it's not simple. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, or produces patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Hallelujah. Amen. So you don't get patient by praying. No. It's truth is by tribulation. Yeah. It's by trouble. That's where you will learn that your haste is not required. Because all of us, we are programmed to respond to our trouble. Each time it comes, you just want to quickly attack it. And you attack it, this one is not going. You attack it, it's not going. Are we right together there? So he wants to change your evaluation of what life means. That's what the enemy wants to do. So to keep your evaluation, it's because you have seen something that is invisible. Because according to a man, a natural man, Christ is invisible. I didn't even know that. Amen. The first entity that appears from the realm of the invisible is Christ. And that's why it's the first hope. So you need that patience, experience, to get to hope in Christ. It's the proof. Even if you get to hope, it's the proof that you are a patient man. Praise God. Amen. I'm only saying that this is not a mean person in the faith. This is a man. These are people of great, you are called great respect for. But you can have all of that and still be blind. If you can't see the kingdom, that's why for many years, each time the teaching about kingdom comes, I know we mentioned in church, I want to get to God's kingdom, I want to enter God's kingdom, or for the sake of God's kingdom, much more is to be rewarded with God's kingdom, like say, right? I think we pray that prayer everywhere. I mean, they pray that prayer for us everywhere. And then they see you as a serious Christian. I only could not be a fee. Eh? What will happen? I feel job our Lord on share it. If it's a re, or you don't want like this. Kingdom of God is not. It's not a re. It's the main reason for living. And it's not something you get to. We don't go through it. It's not something you are hoping to get to in heaven. Are we in the house, please? These are issues with us. And that's why the teaching of emphasis on rapture has been misunderstood, misconstrued. The reason you are born again is that you should fight that kingdom. And it's quite different from the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world is a distraction. The devil played out on earth since man came on the earth here, it has been the war of kingdom. And Jesus said towards the end of time, there will be more battle of kingdom against kingdom. Before you don't care about kingdom, now you know that Wahala is on the earth. Because it's a time of kingdom against kingdom. Because the whole of life and death is kingdom versus kingdom. So we have lived on the earth for more than 4,000 years or 6,000 years with accounts of kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. The whole Bible is about kingdom, kings and kingdom, right? God gave Israel a pattern that does not seem to show the nature of the kingdom of this world. What God gave to Israel is not the pattern of the kingdom that they have known. They have a priestly kingdom. They are a kingdom of priests. That kingdom does not function like the kingdom of this world. Are we in the house, please? So, they used that for many years. They got a point and said, no, God, no. Give us the king. What were they asking for? They want a kingdom like the kingdom of this world. Because the whole world, they look so different. Every nation around them has a way of expression of their dominion. And they lead to war. And in their days, it was a war of conquest. You see war. That one conquered this one, conquered that one. Conquered that nation, destroyed who there. It is conquest in their days. That's why when you read from Genesis, all of that, you see wars and wars. You remember the wars of in the days of Abraham, right? The wars of the kings, the five kings against the four kings, where Sodom is one of on one side. You remember that war? Amen. And the war against, and the Bible says that for 14 years they have served Chedorlaomer, and they rebelled. So it's been a whole thing. They rebelled, and they said, "No, we're not going to serve this man anymore." And Chedorlaomer is a very powerful king. So it war against them, against Sodom, and they defeated Sodom. They took them again, saying that forever you will be our servant. Praise God. And so Abraham got to know about it. And Abraham, who has no seeming kingdom, took his trained man, who grew up in his house. That's a kingdom, actually, that the world does not know anything about. Doesn't look like a kingdom, but it's a kingdom. And he went after them, 318 men, after them, and they conquered the kings. And they took back the spoils. They took back Lot. They took back the women. Amen. So, when God raised Israel as a king, as a kingdom, it was not in the order of the world there. So they were distracted by, when you are hearing the name of nations, escort of nations, there's no way you will not be troubled. You'll be afraid. Can we survive in this? How do we make it in this? Because they are all shouting kingdoms. You know, it's like the mouth of the beast that is speaking swelling things. But God's dominion is not a shouting dominion, but it's the kingdom that will not be removed. Amen. It's an everlasting kingdom. But the way and the manner of the kingdom is not the way we have known. So they ran it for a moment. God was putting their judges. Oh, wow. They said to Samuel, thank you very much, Samuel. We appreciate you for all your effort. We love you, Samuel, but loving you is not enough. We want a king that will lead us to war. It's about conquest. That's why today, when they want to mention, to teach our dominion, it's about how to conquer economy, conquer security, conquer education. Can you see that? It's about free conquest of the natural system. That's how the enemy has defined it to us over time. Are we in the house, please? So God gave them what they wanted. Give them Saul. A man who has the stature of a general. But that's what you know about leadership. Stamina, height. And he looked like it, the son of Kish. But the kingdom was taken away. That was not a kingdom that God ordained for Israel. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Why? He was not looking for it. He was not looking for it. It was a mistreat. So, what am I saying today? That so, you see, attempts to teach us kingdom in the past has not succeeded easily because the pathway of this revelation and unveiling was has not, men that were unveiled has not been prepared. It's not easy to see God's kingdom. So, can you see now that what it will cost a man to be able, if a man does lack these things, is blind. That's what they say in the spirit. You may say you are seeing. You are blind. So how many are, so if you are blind, this, do you know that before this church of this black precious faith here, church has been, there was a church of the Holy Ghost. Remember that? In the book of Acts of the Apostle, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he wrote to the overseers that he said the Holy Ghost has made overseers to feed the flock of God, which he has purchased by his own blood. Am I with you, please? So the church has been at various levels, but these are not churches, actually speaking, that this letter could be written to. Peter wouldn't write this letter to the church at that stage. Why? They are still blind churches. They have leaders, but the leaders are blind. Now, it's not insult. It's not insult. It's defining a state in the spirit. Like someone say you are a babe. It's not insult. It's a stage in a spiritual evolution. The only real problem is that when you ought not, you should not be a babe. If you are still a babe, there's a problem. Even at that point, it's not only for anger. It's only for accepting your state and saying, I don't want to be a babe. Paul said, I couldn't write unto you as unto spiritual, but unto Cana. As unto babes in Christ. It means that I didn't expect to be a babe. Are we right? But since I'm friend among you, you are a babe. So I can't even write some things to you. Because you can't take it. I gave you milk to start with. You are not bearing milk. So if I give you anything more than milk, it will be damaging to you. So to be carnal is not an insult. It's a set. To be a babe is a set. To be blind, we are all born blind. That's what Jesus said to the leaders of Israel. They say we see. And because you say you see, your blindness remains. But if you were blind, you would have seen. Will have healed your blindness. Now you say we see. What am I saying? It's not easy to sight God's kingdom. That's why it's not easy. When you can't sight it, how can you preach it? You can't. Because you need to have sighted it. It's what you have that you can give. So you can be a teacher of babes. Instructor of the fools. Are we in the house, please? They are not insults. I can be a child of babe. I can be instructor of the foolish. It is about what's my vocation in the spirit. What am I showing? What am I able to see? What am I able to bring men to? It's what defines my state. Do you understand what I'm saying, please? Now, these are humble states we have to acknowledge. When I go and say, how will the people, how would Peter said some people are blind. But he said, if you lack these things, you are blind. And he has defined how they should be. They should be in you, and they should abound. Then they abound, they make you. And produce fruit in you that will desire the Father to come and take. But when you, the Father, you want to know about the Father, is that the Father is a vine dresser. Is a being who desires to take fruit. If the Father does not take fruit, it's not pleased. That's why you see in the scriptures, it's defined as a. Jesus said this in John 15. He said, I'm the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He's the husband man. So the Father is the one, he likes to raise vine. Why does he like to raise vine? He likes drinks, fruit. So if a thing, look at the whole parable just gave about the man who has a vineyard, okay, and he has labored on it for a while, and he has labored on it, and he came to take of the fruit of the vine, and he found nothing, and he said what? Come down. That's how much the Father is desperate about fruit. Cut it down. And the keeper said, Lord, let's not go to cut it now. Can you see that? Let's edge there and there's hope. If we put there, over some time, if we put there fertilizer and put it there, dung, all of that to it, and dig it and put there. Let's hope that in the next year. So if it doesn't bring forth fruit in the next, what happened to it? We can cut it down. We account that it's unfruitful. So cut down does not mean, it doesn't mean that the person dies from the faith. No. Only means that it can't be part of the vine. Amen. Because you were somewhere because they made you a branch of the vine. You were granted the vine for fruitfulness. So the Father's interest is about fruit. That's what can make him come. If there's no fruit, he will not come. This thing got, broke my heart. He's blind. And cannot see. Cannot see afar off. He can't sight the dominion. And very soon, if in that state, he will forget that he was purged from his own sin. So actually, it means that it is the receiving that keeps purging us. If we are not received, they will become stale. If we are stale, it's a mark that we are in a. In all sin does not mean that you go back to fornication. No. It means that you are not of the new, you are of the old. You can't access in what God is saying now in this new state. Praise God. Amen. Now. So verse 10. Praise God. I'm trusting that this meeting will come to us and will bring blessings of understanding to us. So everything the ministers are bringing will land in the right places in us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So in the spirit, blindness is a very bad state. To God the Father, He doesn't want, but blind men fight badly. That's why, let me tell you. David hates two things. He hates the blind and the lame. His soul, and God planted that thing there. His soul abhors the blind and the lame. And this is the nature of the Jebusites. They have plenty of blind and the lame. And they left there in Jerusalem. But David, over time, abhorred them. And was looking for a time to take them out of, well, if you don't take them from the city of Jebusites, they can't take Jerusalem, you can't take Zion. And the Lord has chosen Zion as his dwelling place. Can you see what David does? Amen. But I thank the Lord. Bible says, and nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. They say, he took out the Jebusites, the blind and the lame. It's not a good state in the spirit to be a blind and lame. Amen. That's why he has to heal the feet that goes out of the way. Can you see what I'm saying? He has to strengthen the feet and restore it back. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God does not want us to be blind in the spirit. And the way to measure blindness is if you cannot sight the kingdom. If you cannot, you need eyes that is sharp. Strong eyesight. That's why it's a son of a degree, the son, Christ, that can sight dominion. Yes, sir. You need capacity, because the dominion is far. That's why you see, not the parable of Jesus Christ. He was going to go into a far country. Can you see? It's always a far country. That's all the parables. It's a far country. To take a wife, it's a far country. It's not near. It's not with us. It's not around us. You can't get it by observation. You cannot. It has to be made known. The eyes must be healed enough to sight it. Amen. How do you define the dominion of grace and truth? How do you define it? How do you define dominion? You have seen faith. How do you define dominion that way? It doesn't look like dominion. It doesn't look like power. It's going to be, first of all, to that threshold. Remember in the book of Matthew, he said to them, Matthew 28, he told them, he commanded them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So they are coming to start with us, Father, Son of the Holy Ghost. That's the first thing. So if they can't see the Father, they can't preach it. So before we go to the cross, they must have seen the Father. And then knew that. So they said to him, if you are going, no problem. But you know a deal we have. We must see the Father. So show us the Father, and it will be okay for us. Then you can just go. We say you should not go. You say you are going. That will be okay. And you're like, have I been so long with you, guys? Have I been so long with you? And you are still asking, you have not known me. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So they are looking at Jesus, and they're not seeing. That's how dominion is. Dominion can be with you now, and you are not seeing dominion. Though it's with you, it's far. Because the journey is from your spirit, your heart. So it's not from the physical observation. Are we right together? It's by revelation. It's by understanding. There's a lot of words that will fall on words before you see. See does not mean that. Doesn't mean look. You can be looking and you're not seeing. You have been there before now. They are solving mathematics for you. The money I send is confessing you. The man says again, okay, let's take this method. Let's talk another method. The more he's saying, the more confused you are. The thing that you are not seeing what he's saying. So you can be hearing and you're not seeing. So in hearing, in seeing, you must be able to see and perceive. There's a power of perception that comes from what you hear over time. So if you have seen me really, so what you labor for is do what? To see me. I'm with you, but just do one labor. Labor. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And how says thou then, how will you see these guys? Show us the Father. So it's not easy to see. It takes a lot of treatment to cause an eye to see. And so the job of all the workings of the faith, that precious faith, is to deliver to us ability to see. That's why when you get to charity, you can believe all things. Can you see that? Charity believeth all things, endureth all things. It's because now he's seeing gradually. So he has capacity to believe. He's not just saying, I want to believe. No. Something has been worked inside to make him believe. Are we in the house together, please? Praise God. So, wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence, can you see now, to make your calling and election sure. So, this is the point when a man's calling and election is what? Is sure. If a man is not seen, it's not guaranteed. The reason why it's called is not guaranteed. It means he has no hope in the promise. He has no part in the promise. It is when a man can see it, I can hope. For what a man gets, when you begin to see, then hope comes alive. For what a man sees, what does he? So he doesn't need the former hope, he can hope for glory. To start with, he has one hope, hope for Christ. When he sees Christ, he needs the next hope. I will write together, please. That's hoping for the glory of God. So, give diligence to make your calling. So all this labor at this time is to help us to do what? To give diligence. Diligence to hearing. Diligence to waiting. Diligence to learning. Diligence. It takes a lot of work to make a man see. When you are fighting blindness or blind men, it's a bad fight. Many of the things we talk about in the body of Christ that we talk about, or people argue about, the reason for argument is blindness. I tell you. The man is not seeing what you are saying. And the only way he will react is to fight you. Yeah? He will fight you with words, fight you on the pulpit, fight you everywhere. What are they saying? It's because he's not seeing. In this season, the Lord will restore back our sight to us. Amen. We will see as we ought to see. Amen. At least we will sight the kingdom. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So for a reason, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now that seems to actually end that epistle. So the epistle was written actually for entrance. It was an epistle for men to enter. It's a must that you must enter the everlasting kingdom. Come on, say with me. Say it's a must. That I must enter the everlasting kingdom. And I must know that I've entered. I must know that I am entered. Just like you came into the kingdom of Christ's dominion and you live by faith, and you know, like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not yet I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. Paul said, Christ. He didn't say, I may be. No, he said, Christ liveth in me. He was too sure. Why? The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So if I'm living by that faith, then it's not me that's living anymore. It's Christ that's living in me. So some of these things you can know. It's not pride. You can know that by mercy, I know I live by faith of Christ. I know. As I know that, I also want to know that I live by the life that's in the Father. As I know that, as I knew I received the Holy Ghost. Not at the point you receive the Holy Ghost. Are you with me, please? Yeah. And you're not sure. Maybe it's your tongue, it's another tongue. I'm not even sure. I don't want to speak the dead tongue. I'm talking of devil. I don't speak the tongue anyhow. If I'm not sure, I won't speak. It's because you are not yet persuaded. Yeah. If you are persuaded in your dream, you will scabalahando kokombrobo sedai. Skepali ambassador. It will be an unconscious response. The feeling is that of you. No, for some of us is when the worship is very tense. Meshkehema, meshkehema, meshkehema. The whole place is tense. Are we right? We're going to be taking your tea and be uttering Mishkapanda, Eskapodi Basida, Kahaya Mani, and Tobobo. Kelibrahanda Bane, Ate Baraka, Huskamali Aska, Brema Luka Sibayada, Kemania, Tio, go back again. That's life in the spirit. We don't have to make religion out of everything. Man, it's knowledge. It's knowledge. Praise God. The boy knew. You know, he knew it. So as far as he knew it, he should also know. We'll get a point you will know that an entrance has been ministered to me. For so an entrance shall be ministered. Shall be ministered. And in this room is being ministered. Why? There are many doors. Many doors. So you must know the entrance must become a lifestyle. You just know it. I like that song. Many doors are banned. In the corridors, huh? Give me that song. That song is okay. I like that song. So, by reason of these entrances, we will learn how to access doors. For the realm of the everlasting is the realm of doors. Doors! They call them everlasting doors. And I mean, we have a meeting in Lagos called Everlasting Doors. Everlasting Doors! So, we are going to learn skill of the Spirit. I win the hostess. We're going to learn protocol of the Spirit. We're going to learn ethic of the Spirit. We're going to learn how to manage doors. But I tell you this, for the righteous, it's a must. There's a door that the righteous must enter. So open to me the gates. Open to me the gates. This is the gate that the righteous must. It's a must. It's not me. A righteous must enter. So when you're learning righteousness, it's a cause of entrance. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So because of this, this is the reason why this epistle was written. So let me go to the next phase of this message. Praise God. So Peter said, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." I will not be negligent to put you always. God, this is the reason for the gospel. This is the reason for my commissioning. This is the reason why I'm an apostle. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things. Observe all things that I've commanded. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always." So this first group of apostles, their job is to ensure entrance to the everlasting kingdom. That's their job. Amen. Though you know them, and you be established in the present truth. Let me just say something a little about that. Why was Peter saying present truth at that time? In the present truth. Now, they have already used truth before. They have used truth in first believing. That is, believing Jesus and all about Jesus around the Jesus faith and the Holy Ghost is truth. Amen. When they can be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise is a measure of truth they assess. I would like to get up this. When you get back to Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, you'll find all of that there. Let me read the one of Colossians to you to help that, because at this time I just feel that we have to say everything because of those who are listening to us. We must not assume anything. But there are so many people who are just trying to wait for anything to say and say, no. God is going to help us to say everything. Amen. To help the gainsayer, okay? Amen. Amen. Okay? This Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after you have heard the word of truth, okay? The gospel of your salvation. Is this the initial? And you, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Go back to Colossians. Colossians 1, verse 6, which is common to you as in all the world. Verse 4, go to verse 4, please. 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and to the love, your love to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before, where? In the word of truth. So the churches have been using truth at levels, okay? Where they also came to knowing Christ is also truth. It's also truth. So it's truth at another level. Are we right? Amen. But the emphasis on entrance to the kingdom at that time was the present truth. Was the present truth. What was God's present truth to them at that time? You know that the church was a church in pilgrimage, in journey. They were journeying. So the truth were coming to them based on their journey. It's not like today when the whole Bible is in our hands. You can just lie us anyhow. I'm saying, that's the essence of preachers preaching. All of us have Bible today, right? Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. And you have the Holy Ghost. But you can still have all of that and still rumble around the scriptures and not be saved easily. You know, David, it does a lot of things against people whose faith. We don't know. We can't even trust any pastor anymore. Can't trust any church anymore. I have my Bible. I will read my Bible. I will see my. I will see what they. No, it doesn't work like that. There are many ways here. Many roads. As you take one, you see four that are bifurcating. You are wondering which one to take. You take a wrong one, you can be there for the next 2 years. If you have to find your way out, you don't be religion there and build religious school around it. That will make it impossible for you to navigate your way out. So God raised ministers with great, in the midst of confusion, there will be light. He has never left his people without light. He has never. But how bad things are all over the world, I tell you, he has his agents of help. When you hear them, you will know your heart. You are hearing truth. Your heart will bear you witness. Amen. Amen. Are you in the house? What I'm saying? So, I'm saying that truth is at various levels. At that time, this was the present truth. And at that time, it won't be the present truth anymore. What's the journey beyond it? For some churches, truth of Christ can be the present truth. So present truth depends on where the journey, where they have journeyed to. So this present truth is emphasis on how the church will journey unto everlasting life. Amen. Nobody should argue against this one. Huh? It's not normal. It's that the devil has done something against you. I'm telling you. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you look at all the part of their journey, you can trace them back to the prophets. The prophets spoke about all of them. But they spoke about it here and there. Here and there. It took apostolic grace to gather, to know that this is what the Lord is saying presently. Yes, There's something we talk about from faith, being born again, to the end. That's not all in the prophets. They're all there. But you can't use them to journey. Because they're not following themselves there. And God put them there. So a man by his own will not be able to go there. If he put them there in sequence of academic knowledge, those without faith will go there. The noble of this world will go there. So he kept them for those who love him, who can go all the way to get that precious life, precious gift, so that it won't be abused. Amen. When you go through a journey to get a precious thing, you will keep it. I know what I'm saying? You will keep it. It will be precious to you. If you go through a journey to go and get a pearl, no matter how small the pearl is, every time your eye will be on it because of how far you went to get it. Praise God. So, let's look at this. What is not emphasizing there? And I think it meant, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of these things. Okay? Knowing that surely I must put up this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that this may be after my disease. That ye may be able to, after my disease, to ask these things. Always! Always! This is part of your Christian work. Always! Have these things always in remembrance. Amen. Hallelujah. So he used God helped him to use the experience with Jesus on the Holy Mount to describe that journey, which he has already captured in the first 12 verses of 2 Peter. He used that mountain experience of transfiguration, which we all know about. So he said, "For we have not followed a cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory where there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So, Peter used that experience to tell the church he was writing to that actually speaking, that all of those journeys was because from 12 of them, 3 were separated, right? It's not about the 12. Jesus said to them, after they confessed at Caesarea Philippi, after Peter confessed, he said, "There are some of you here who will not taste of death until they have seen the Son of Man in his kingdom. And that way is in his glory." So, some days after, I think 6 days after, he took 3 of them. They went to the mount, and while they were with him, he transfigured. Now, he changed before their face. His fashion was altered, and I like that word, that he became like the sun, and their face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. He changed. Beautifully speaking, a voice came from the excellent glory, telling them that experience actually is an experience of voice. That what Jesus Christ was showing there, he acquired it through voice. It was voice that sent it to him. You know, many things Jesus Christ did could be taken like a magician. Are we right? Like he walked on the water. Now he went and transfigured. Baba, you win you. No, you could refer to him that way. It's not commending faith on your part. You are only revering and exalting that experience. We have nothing to do about it. Whoa. Now, that is not what the faith is designed for with us. The faith wants to connect us to everything Jesus became. The essence of following Jesus is not just to see him. No, that's not the essence. That's why I told Peter. Peter said, if it be you, bid me come. You just want Peter, come. If you want to be a champion, you say, oh, Baba, why any better? Huh? Baba, Baba, huh? Baba will not show you. If he shows you everything, he won't show you some secrets. You know what I'm saying? He didn't want him to see him that way. Bid me come. If it be by you. And just say, come. And the guy with from nowhere stepped on the water. And Peter was walking on the water. Because Jesus expected to have that mystery, that experience, and seek the mystery behind it. He's not trying to show a big man. I went to the house. And to tell him a lesson there, as he stepped on the water, what happened? Wind broke out. And the same Peter who was seeing Jesus before was seeing the wind. To tell you that you can lose your sight any moment. You can lose your sight any moment. No matter how much you have experienced, you can lose your sight any moment. And he was looking at the wind, but stirred us. And he was afraid. Telling you that the way forward is keep on looking at me. And it means that you're going to look away from every distraction. And I said the same thing repeated in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. So it wasn't that to show them, it wasn't showing them a one mighty experience. It was telling them, it was conveying to them an experience that they would translate into message. So they had a voice that came from the excellent. Why should it be defined that way? From the excellent glory. They had a voice, it's enough, right? And the voice came, and we heard it. Peter defined where the voice came from. Because sometimes God speaks, he will come down to speak, right? Are we in the office? God, everything in the Bible is not from the excellent glory. There are various realms that God speaks from. That's why he spoke to Moses over time. And I would say he spoke to him face to face. At that point, Moses knew that he has not seen his face. He said, Lord, I thought I saw you before. Show me your glory. God said, what are you looking for? I've given you my goodness. I know I've seen goodness, but I know I need mercy for glory. So it means that at the point he felt he saw God. Are we right? At that point he knew he didn't see him. Praise God. So he heard a voice from the excellent glory. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Can you help us out, please?
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For there are many faces that will lead you to the face, that will lead you to the face, that will bring you to the face. As you follow the voice, faces will be revealed. Faces will be revealed until you arrive at the face. So don't stop. Don't stop seeking the face. Don't stop seeking the face. Don't stop knocking at the face. Don't stop knocking at the door of the face. Don't stop knocking. For you knock by faith. You knock by faith. You knock by faith. And as you knock, entrances into doors is being granted unto you. It's being granted unto you. For there is a faith that is being opened at this time. There is a faith that is being unveiled at this time. Oh, exercise your faith in believing the voice. In believing the voice. For you to come into the comprehension. For you will come into the comprehension. As you follow the speakings. as you follow this speaking. Say the Lord Jesus.
Amen. So Peter said, we heard the voice when we were with him. And the voice told us it's not more just the beloved son. It's the beloved son who is speaking now that you can hear. It's from the realm where he can speak from. It's not just a man you just follow. It's a man you hear now. Why? He has become a voice from the excellent glory. Amen. I went to the house, please. When they heard the voice was speaking concerning about his death, which he was going to carry out in Jerusalem. But they knew the voice came. Now, the interest place today, we're going to stay on, is on this last three verses. I want to believe that God will help me to be able to do that. Amen. Are you here with me, please? So Peter now said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. So he's also saying, all these experiences, those are experiences. Though we had voice, but actually they have been calibrated as prophecy. Saying that though we were there, but there's something that can also bring everyone there. Everyone can get in there. The essence of prophecy is to create a vehicle of the spirit of transport for everyone who wants to journey into the everlasting kingdom. Even to journey to God. The vehicle of the travel is prophecy. Say prophecy. Say, come on, say it again. Come on, say it again. I can't hear you. Say, come on, say prophecy. I didn't say prophesy. I mean prophecy. Prophecy is the light. Now, actually speaking, in the all of this experience that is captured from verse 1 to like verse 12 is the effect of light. When you are talking about the day of God, the day of God, what determines a day is light. I think you know that. The whole of the hours of the day is how many hours? Of the whole clock hours is 24 hours. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? So he divided 12 hours into two and called 12 hours the day. The other 12 hours is night. And anybody walk in the day, he does not stumble. So what defines why you say afternoon is not hour. It is light. Good morning is light. Good afternoon is light. Good evening is light. If you move from here to another zone of the earth and you have said good morning here, you can go to another place and say again, good morning after 10 hours. Why you will repeat good morning 5 times on the earth? In 24 hours, it's light. You can greet good morning in 10 places all over the earth. In a whole day. Just leave Nigeria by 7 o'clock and say good morning to all of them. And go to Sierra Leone and land there in the next 2 hours. You will say good morning also. Leave the place and move to the U.S., in 4 hours' time, you will say good morning also. So you can get good morning on the earth here throughout the whole day. So it's not the hour of the watch, 1 hour, 2 hours. It is light that defines your watch. And it is meant to design for you journey. The essence of light is for journey. Good morning defines to you what manner of conduct. Good afternoon defines for you a manner of conduct. Bible says, "Ebi amati kini kono odaro." That means that sometimes you greet good night in the night, you don't say good morning, good night again. It is good morning we greet next. Are we right? So it means it is light. Say light.
Light.
Say it again.
Light.
I can't hear you say it better again.
Light.
It's the life that divides the day. It's light. Even in the midst of creation, God said, "Let there be light." He still divided the light and make the one part of it night, and that one called day. And the whole thing, because it was just a light, called day. He still divided the day. Can you see that? So it's divided. Divided. Later on, he brought in firmament and divided the waters. Firmament is a space of light. So what breaks into two, the water be not brought up in night, and brought above is a sphere of light. I went the house this. So actually speaking, in our walk towards God, we are going to be learning light. If you can't change from light to light, you can't travel. You can't journey. What I know. You're going to be stranded. What they use. So it was defining what he meant by entrance. All these things talking about. He was telling them that it's a matter of learning light journey. So he broke. Listen to me. Before then, we have been using a light called the light of the moon, light of this world, light of the light. That was in the day before. In that day before, called evening, because he made one day is evening and the morning. Makes the day. It's evening and the morning. What makes the day in the spirit is evening and the morning. What do I call it, please? Come on, say, let me hear you pray, please. Come on, say it again. Come on, say it again. So the day is evening and the morning makes one day. So they have to divide that into two. Evening and the morning. No, evening looks like the morning. Do you know that? It looks, but it's not morning. It's an entrance into a dark time. It's an entrance. So, when we were young, we used to have that experience, you know, especially when you have malaria. And you know that experience. And you know this, it was chloroquine. I don't know what that injection does to you. It knocks you out. Your brain goes blank. I think that's why they stop. That's why they stop it. That affects the brain. Apart from the wickedness of the itching, my own is not even the it is the itching. Ah, I think my. I wanted to go and study pathology because of that much. I was thinking, I want to study parasites. I major on malaria. But that malaria showed me peppermint. I became nearly, when you smell me, you'll be smelling chloroquine in my body. Praise God. So when you wake up in the evening, after they have given you a shot of chloroquine in the evening, and you have slept for, and they will also give you a sleeping. Is it pristine they gave them? And you just knock out that one. When you wake up in the evening and everybody is in the kitchen, maybe just preparing for the dinner, you go and say, "Good morning, sir." "Good morning, sir." I did that thing over and over again. That I was feeling maybe I was stubborn on this day. I kept doing that same thing. He captures my mental time. It looks so much like the morning. "Good morning, sir." Everybody will start laughing. If I have not come to say good morning, my leg has not broken. It's a sign that my leg has broken. "Good morning, sir." Amen. So the evening will come before the morning. For every one of us, evening comes before the morning. So nobody goes into the day without the evening. The evening light is actually a dark light. It's a darkness in the night. It's in the evening you find, though it looks so much like the sun and the moon have their order in the day, but actually it's towards the night. You see the effect in the evening. That's why he said to the prophet, What of the morning? Mama read that place yesterday. What about the morning? He said, before the morning, come at the evening. The evening will have to come before the morning. There's actually light in the evening. There's a light in the evening, but that light in the evening can't take you through. Amen. You must come into the night season. Amen. Are we right together, please? So, now, you see that really in the day, when does the day begin? The day begins it begins in the night. When you cross 12 o'clock, the day begins. But actually, it's dark. So the day begins in the dark. That's why your day begins when you come into the holy place. If you're outside, your day has not begun. You are in the evening light. And you can't see true light until they move you into the night. Nobody can see light without the night season. You will see after the former day. That's why for many Christians, it's not easy for them to use the light of Christ. It is fair. The light of Christ, when you begin to live by the faith of the Son of God, and your justification is not in your result. It's in being made right in Christ. All you have there is right. You don't have any gain. Amen. Are we in the house, please? All you have gathered before, they began to touch it, drop it from you. Praise God. Why? They want you to come into another sphere of life where the former light is not what guides you, and the way to push you to the night. So the day begins in the night. What did I say? Come and say it again. But we are not of the night, we are of the day. But you can't move to the day without the night. So it is in the night you will learn to use the light. A light must be accessed in the night. If you can't get that light, there's no way you can reach the day. That's why it's a season of mourning. Though mourning endureth, weeping endures for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So the night precedes the morning. The night described here is the night, is the breaking of the day, is the day where it is dark. What is night here? The day that is dark. It's a dark day in which a man will need another light to survive in there. So Christ's light is the light they use in that night. That's why you will see in that night, but you see darkly. When it's night, no matter how much, you are seeing darkly. Why? That light can't take away all that darkness. But it's just for journey. So that you can move through time into the through the night in the next phase of light. Praise God. So, all that Peter was describing about precious faith here was night faith. Like precious faith with us. In the faith in the night. But he say, you must not use the night. You must have light in the night. Because those who sleep head in the night. But you are not of the night, you are of the day. So you are moving towards, are we in the house this? You are aiming towards the day. That's why it's a must that you must arrive at the day. Now, the day, expansively speaking, in the scriptures, you see more event of the day as it regards judgment of evil. But actually, it's a time of consolation for Zion. When you look at the day, you're going to see the heavens and the earth will match, all of that. I'm saying, I wear the house list. But actually, in the matching of the heaven and the earth is the redemption and the emergence of the sons of that day. If these dust are not tried and melted, our nature will not emerge. Are we right? Praise the name of the Lord. So we are not of the night. We are of the day. But we go through the night. Or we must go through the night. So you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness, but does not exempt us from traveling through the night. Is that clear? Is that clear? So those who sleep, sleep in the night. So if you are sleeping, what does it mean? If a Christian is sleeping, it means that he doesn't have enough light to sustain him in the night. That's why he sleeps. Now, those who sleep are not unbelievers. Unbelievers are dead. It's only a believer that can sleep in the night. So the 10 virgins, they all slept. Aha! They are virgins. When they say virgins, they are not new born again people. They are those who are Christ. Who have evolved into Christ. They are virgins. They were all chosen. But the fact that they were chosen does not mean that they won't sleep in the night. They slept. The night is tough. So the night season is a long night. It's long. So the day is broken into three phases: the night, the dawn, and the day. What do I call it? The dawn and the day. They are all part of the old day. So you just said it does walk in the day. It's not just talking about the day of light. Maybe from 6 to no. He has begun the day. He has begun the day from 12. The day has begun. Are we in the house, please? Yes, sir. Amen. Are we in the house? And because of Christ, or by Christ, we ought not to sleep at the night. If this bride, if they have reached to charity and they are bowed, yes, and they are made, then we have oil. God, the vine, though it's the vine has wine, the vine also has oil. There's the oil of vine, there's the fruit of vine, fruit of fig, but there's also the oil. Every fruit has oil. The oil level is just different. The olive is major oil. But the vine has oil that can take through the night. So you don't need only wine. Wine is good, but wine can make you sleep. You need oil to trip your lamp. That's why for the virgins, they said, give us our when they heard the word bedroom comet. And they trim their lamp. So they have add oil. They had the oil that this other one doesn't have. Are we right? There was an oil they came in with. This one had extra oil. That oil is not exactly the same. Are we right? Thunder, another oil kept to trim their lamp. It's a light of entrance. It's a light of ministration. The light that can make them have access. So these guys, they said, give us out of your no, this one. They don't give people like that. They don't give it. Go to those who sell. Now those who sell, where are they? They are outside. So it's to tell you that you have no way to have access. You can't have, you can't get from those who sell and enter. This one we don't get from those who sell. Because those who sell are not going in, right? If they are going in, they will have gone in. I'm saying. So the oil they have can make, not make you have entrance. It's not the oil for, it's not the hot for entrance. I have taken you through a little bit of, I slide you a little bit now, but have I lost anybody here now? From this little slide? Nobody's stuck with, right? Praise God. So, I'm just trying to, this system we pick is, will have been put in another way. But I just feel that the church, we speak about the night. We speak about the day. But we don't speak about the dawn. And without the dawn, there's no day. So, are we in the house, please? So, all of the night, the dawn, and the day, they are all captured in prophecy. It is prophecy that is used for travel. What moves in those hours is prophecy. Say prophecy. Come on, say it again. Come on, say it again. We have settled this for now. Okay, we have a much short of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well, that ye take it as unto a light, listen, that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn. Dark place in the night, until the day dawn, and the day star arises in our heart. So you have the dark, the dawn, and the day. Is that clear to us in that place? So it looks mixed up. But it was dividing the seasons. It was dividing seasons. I keep wondering exactly these apostles. How did Peter come to this sphere of, you know, the whole thing, if you get to Jude was emphasizing the dawn. The dawn. That's After Peter, all of them, Jude, James, all of them, before the epistle of John, were emphasizing the dawn. The dawn is where many evil catches up with men. The dawn is when evil men grow. So, how do you imagine Balaam got into trouble by the dawn. They were men, they were terrible men that Moses feared. Moses couldn't save them from Balaam. It was God. God came in. So these are men, wicked men, that can destroy souls. Now, because it's not easy for soul to capture light that can break into the dawn. That light, 1 John, put it this way, 1 John 3. 1 John 3, 1. Say, beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? We are called the sons of God. And the word new outcome. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? And it does not yet appear what we shall be. And when it shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Can you see three sons there? The sons we are, the sons we shall be, the sons that will be like him. So, are you with me, please? So, in the night, the night is supposed to bring forth a son. That's the night. But the son must be a son that has the light to travel into the dawn. The dawn is entrance into everlasting kingdom. That's the point of entrance. If the night does not produce that sun, or if the sun does not catch that light that can make that as a path to travel, because let me tell you, all suns are light. Yeah? What did I say? Come on, say it again. They are light. Christ is light. The Father is light. God is light. That's not too difficult to ask. Because God is light, in him there's no darkness at all. He's the Father of light. Christ is light. Awake that are sleepers, and Christ will give the light. So they are all light beings. What I say? They are light. They are light. So there's a light that the sun is that can move into the dawn. Or that can move into the everlasting kingdom. So what you find in this verse here is explaining again what Peter has written from verse 1 to 12. It's a replay of that verse 4, now using the day to describe. So let me say this way. What you get as precious faith by righteousness is light. And that light also is called prophecy. Say prophecy. Say it again. Prophecy. Now, what is prophecy? What's prophecy? Prophecy is interpretation of vision. Write it down. Prophecy is perfect interpretation of vision. If you have vision and there's no prophecy, you can still miss it. You can miss your trouble. That's why in Daniel 9, 20, let's say Daniel 9, oh my. I'm just trying to create background for this whole meeting, okay? These men are skillful, powerful by God's grace to take part of it and begin to crack it down. Huh? Amen. God has blessed them so much. But I just want to make this plain, throw this plain out for us to see. Okay? At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to shew thee. For thou art really beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. So the matter is prophecy. So it is something you get by understanding. You can have a vision, but you need understanding, okay? Understand the matter and consider the vision. 7 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. Can you see that? To make an end of sin. So that you make an end of sin does not mean that you have finished the program. And to make reconciliation with iniquity and to bring in what? I can't hear you. And to seal up. So really, everlasting righteousness is to seal up the vision and prophecy. And the prophecy. It's to finish. So to seal it, that is to finish it. To make it complete. to make the interpretation, to make complete interpretation of the vision. You see the complete vision and it is fully interpreted. For example, Christ is a vision. Do you know that? What did I say? Say it again. Now, Christ is a vision and Christ is a message. Christ is a vision means that it's God's intention to bring Christ to lead men to the Father. That's why even in case like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh. So the essence of Christ is to journey to the Father, right? Amen. Amen. What's the essence of Christ? Is to journey to the Father. That's the vision of God. How man can journey to the Father is a vision. Man should journey to where? Say it again, please, with me. Say it again. Come on, say it again. Please say it again. Man should journey. When man was created, is meant for that journey. Christ came to make that journey fulfilled. So it's God's vision for man's journey to the Father. Now, you can know that God wants man to join the Father and not have the interpretation of the vision, the matter, the material for the journey. We can also call it substances or message for the journey. So the message must also come. That message is a prophecy. It's a what? It's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. It means that when a man gets that prophecy, he can journey. He can fulfill that vision. So, to seal up the vision and the prophecy. Now, actually speaking, the last vision and prophecy is the one Daniel, they were making Daniel see. To reconcile for iniquity and to is a vision. That was the vision they gave to Paul. I am not disobedient to what? The heavenly vision. The heavenly vision is how to make a man reconciled to God. How to take care of iniquity. How to take care of sin. That's Paul's job. It's called remission of sins. So Paul, through his message, can delete sin. He doesn't forgive sin and say, your sins are forgiven. No, that's not now. When Paul sees sin, what does he do? He preaches Christ. And by Christ, sin is deleted. The power to do it is taken away. He has both message and the manner. Look at that guy that was in fornication in Corinthians. They have warned the guy not to take the wife of his father. Because in their culture, you have right to your father's wife. Amen. Amen. So it was not their culture that was complaining. Nobody came to complain in church. So it was okay at home. Amen. Praise God. But in Christ, it's not right. So church have been telling him, you can't live this life now that you are a Christian. It's acceptable in our culture. That's who we do it. They have done everything. So Paul wrote to them, beyond the message, remove him. Excommunicate him. Let him suffer in the flesh. That the spirit be saved. So they have both the message and what and the manner. Or conversation. And when they dealt with the guy, when they dealt with him, he became born again. Amen. Paul said, in fact, the way you handle him, I didn't even expect to handle him that way. Is he a brother now? He's just a brother who is a fornicator. Amen. I'm in the house, please. So receive him back. I know he's been dealt with. So Paul has it. There's no sin that checking Paul. He has redemption in his blood. Even what?
the forgiveness of sins. Remission of sins. He won't run from church. No, Paul will confront it. And when he saw it, something in Peter that's not so good, he said, I withstood him to his face. I withstood him. When it comes to the message, we don't look at those who are somewhat. In conference, those who are somewhat. No. It's about the message. Amen. I will be hostage. So it was committed to Paul. Now here, there's a vision and a prophecy that will lead to the sealing or that will lead to the anointing of the most. Because the most is a vision, is a prophecy. It's not a prophecy. Do you know that? I will in the house this. You don't believe that? Why would there be a opening of the ark again in the book of Revelation? You know that? I think that one should be Revelation chapter, is it 11? Let's just do that place. There was. Are you there with me, please? Say, I'm here. I don't want to lose you. 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 The things we're saying, if it's coming too fast, I don't want to come put together. Get back home, go through them. They're in your Bible, okay? And the temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in this temple the Ark of the Testament. This is not the former testament. It's the testament now upgraded, right? It's a higher form of it. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. See the next thing. So, why would there be the opening of the Ark in heaven? That's what led to chapter 12. When this ark was opened in heaven, the man-child company had power of finishing. Yeah. So there's a light that can make them ascend to the throne. So, all of them actually have their, so you can see, have their prophecy. That's why you read in the place we're reading 2 Peter. Let's go back there. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture, no prophecy of the scripture, no prophecy. So the scripture contains prophecies. That is the reason really for scripture, is to capture prophecies. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Nobody can take prophecy and sit down and be interpreting it. No. It came by the Holy Ghost. God picked holy men, prophets. I've said it before that it's not all that prophesy that are called holy men. Are we right, please? What I say, it's not all that prophesy that are holy men. Holy men are men that were taken. They actually, all of them are all Jews. God, the reason for Jew is to raise prophets. Why God raised Jews is for prophets. That's why it says, he didn't suffer anyone to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets. So the whole of Israel are house of prophets. If there's anything Israel did for God, is to give God prophets. God can bring his intention to pass without prophets. God is the speaking God. God is the living God. God does not make who. God speaks. The idol of the nation can make who. God is the speaker. When he thunder, he's speaking. Now at the point, Bible says they had a noise and said it thundered. Remember, the father was speaking to Jesus. And he understood what he was saying. Don't audibly look at the thunder. So the God of Israel is a speaking God. He's communicating. Because the reason why man is above goat is not because of his food, or his car, or his car, or his building. It's for his voice. No other creature can speak like man speaks. So God has that capacity and nature that he shared with man, speaking. That's how we can hear him. Amen.
Amen.
Speak it, for thy servant heareth. I know by the grace of God that our hearing will be enhanced.
Amen.
In this season, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
We'll be able to hear God in another frequency.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, prophecy is not for any man's mind interpretation. That's why everyone that tried to give prophecy, you know, interpret revelation by human knowledge or science knowledge has all missed it. But it didn't come by human will. It came by the Holy Ghost. And not just by the Holy Ghost, it came by the Spirit of Christ. But that Spirit of Christ is about message. But there are many other ways we know the Holy Ghost, and it's not about message. The way the Spirit comes is by speaking, by communicating the divine thoughts. Amen.
Amen.
And so that's how prophecy came in old times. It's not by the will of men. Only men of God speak as they were moved. They were moved. They were the moment of that prophecy, they will be taken over. After the prophecy, they can come back to themselves. But that moment, it will be beyond them. And so they speak things that they all keep wondering, what are we saying? At the point, they will get confused. Was it Jeremiah? He said to God, God, you have deceived me. But what he was saying, that the person said, I have said I won't say anything anymore. But his word was fire in my bone. I want to constrain, I can't constrain. So it's not by his will. It was taken over. Hallelujah. That's like one of the things we have that makes us different from other religions. Anything called religion on earth is prophecy. When you remove prophecy from our matter, we become another religion. What makes Christianity different from another religion is prophecy. Prophecy is not speaking about this, about our future. It's speaking about God's own future. It's not about us. It's God's own future that we have part in. So when you see prophecy, what is he speaking? The Father, Christ, God. Read prophecy. What is it about? About the Father, about God, the Father, and Christ. So you can also say that it's not the work of a seer. So these prophets are not those who are prophesying or seers. Many of us, even when you talk to them, we don't know who is called a prophet. By Egbono, I tell you. To ba se n wole. Baba. Ari nuro de ni. Now, if he has it by the Bible, some of them grew it in the Bible, right? They grew the prophetic spirit, grace of sin. Many of them, instead of the CSC clan, it's not occultic. They grew it through the scriptures. Are we in the house, please? Now they are seers. They're not prophets. So we have plenty of. Now, the one we see outside that used to call them are not prophets at all. They are not even false prophets, they are sorcerers. The church does not even. We don't even know who is called sorcerer and who is called false prophet. Those ones who go to water, who get apart from water, they are not false prophets. They are sorcerers. False prophets are seers that want to function as prophets. That dabble into prophetic matters. Because, let me tell you, it's a dangerous pathway. To accept that you are a seer is not easy. You know, for us to accept what heaven calls us, it's not easy. And God said to John, he said, "You shall be great before the Lord." And actually, it was great. But before men, he got. He can last up. He can now run. So to accept evil's evaluation, it's not easy. And we need mercy to accept that. That's why you can ask the Lord for help. So an average sayer have tendency of becoming a false prophet. There are not too many people who are seers who stay there. I've removed sorcerers now. Are you understand what I'm saying? In the picture now, sorcerers are not there. We need to start adjusting ourselves by knowledge. So seers grill. They grill through scriptures. But they don't have the spirit of Christ to interpret the things that pertain to salvation. They can't interpret it. If some of them can have a healing center, and people will be there, and it doesn't use any magic. Prayer, Aduani. Ashegun, Aduani. You can be there, you won't receive the Holy Ghost. You won't receive the Holy Ghost. You may not be born again. And the work, I want prayer. How can I say Adua? 12 o'clock, Adua. 3, Adua. And 6, Adua. And there's no salvation at all. So, why don't you say, Baba is Yehuli, Baba is Yehuli. I'm not saying Baba Sostras. Listen to me. This is the argument of the prophets. So it's not all prophets in Israel that has writings. Not all of them have scriptures. Now, some of them venture into scriptures. But when Christ appeared and became real to men, when they checked their writings, it doesn't measure up. So it's not all of them that are here. So you can hear some books of King Jasha, book of Omen of Book. They don't have, let me say, go back to that thing we are reading. Peter. Let's go back there. Chapter 1 Peter. Praise God. Are we together today, please? I feel that the Lord wants me to do this work, you know, this morning. I just feel so. I didn't plan it. I had that plan entirely speaking. But are we here? Verse 8. Whom have you not seen, ye love in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believe him. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. See verse 11. Searching what? Or what manner of time? So you can see these prophets, they gave attention into the matters of salvation. They kept looking to this light. So their press is not on from men. No. Their press is committed towards what God wants to do on the earth. So their primary job is not how you will go home and come back safe. That's not their job. How you will travel and come back. That's not their job. Are we in the house, please? And how you will know to marry. You can't see in Isaiah. What's in Jeremiah? Hey. Oh, you see Ezekiel? You can't see there. So, their commitment to the voice of heaven is concerning. God began to show. So I want to believe that this first prophet also, that God gave them a little light, they didn't follow it. They didn't follow it. They were more committed to men than to God. So these are holy men. It is God that made them holy. What their hand do is what made them holy. Their hand do holy things. See, look at the way they went. They even went as far as concerning not only what, but even the time. See there. What manner of time? The Spirit of Christ which was in them. This signified when testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto me it was revealed that not unto themselves, and they accepted it. You know how much Daniel pressed? Daniel pressed and pressed. He went to fasting. 21 days for understanding. To understand the vision. Not concerning him, oh. Concerning the matters of this kingdom. So you understand that. Oh my God. Amen. When if they come to a fast in the church and say, let's fast 1 week for understanding, will you come? When they pray 2 days, 3 days. The wild instead of you will make you uncomfortable. You don't feel. You don't feel there's need for such level of understanding. Kill and why now? Kill and make and what? Just to quote Jinde. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? Yes. So, prophecy was committed. So they kept speaking without knowing what they were saying. They kept speaking. So they were cooperating with God. God is the speaking God. If the word is not spoken, God will not do it. So God will have to speak the end from the beginning. He will not come up to the beginning and start doing what he has spoken. That's why heaven and earth will pass away. Not what I have spoken. If a word goes out of my mouth, it's not returned to me void. As the rain cometh down from heaven to the earth. And does it just go back like that one? When it's going back, it's another form. Plant have used it. I went in the house place. Every seed upon which it lands buds. So shall my word be that go out of my mouth and shall not come back unto me void, but shall prosper in the reason why I have sent it. So the prophet are the instrument of God sending the light of his word on the earth here, so that divine thoughts can be fulfilled. Amen. Amen. Prophecy is the message of the vision. And the prophecies are not, they are prophecies in scriptures. And the prophecies are concerning persons. That's why Paul is the one who broke that bubble. Paul broke the bubble. The way he broke it, if not for if not for Colossians, it's not scriptures, but he came to Colossians and made it took, and he stopped the mouth of hell. God used power. He stopped the mouth of hell. If you have been, no matter how much we are saying now, I'm telling you, men will still have had more energy of argument. Because sometimes people don't, and what is not, instead you say A, B, C. And it doesn't mean like that. It doesn't mean like that. In Colossians chapter 2, let's read briefly, please. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their heart may be comforted and be knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father, and of what? And of Christ. Now, in whom are hid all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. So it means that these three beings are the one that carries the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Are we right? Now, and they are the three beings that should be understood. You should understand Christ, understand the Father, understand God. Their understanding is prophecy. Or is the message. You can't understand them until their message is brought. Paul is the one who brought the message of Christ. Are we right, please? But Jesus himself brought the Father. But they could not access the Father that Jesus brought on the Apostle Paul. Then the last gospel. So the first set of apostles, their commission is to bring to the Father. So God, he now retained one of them, called John, to bring the message of God. No wonder he said, he was telling Peter, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. Peter said, am I the only one here? What was this one? Now they put head for your chest now. Just say, what is that to you? Let him be your own. If it's my will, it will not. Until I come, it will remain. Till I come. So he was to wait till he came. So I went to house. So he knew he was coming back. And which one is all? If I will that he tarry till I come. So he knew he was coming, but he was coming for John. It was so Jesus, he came as Christ to Paul, came as the Father to Peter and the rest of them, Jude the rest of that. He came as God to John. Let him be your own. You have your own allocation. I go and do it. This one. Do you know what Peter, what John from history, what John went through? I even learned that in one of the something they took John and put him in a fry pot. Boiling oil. I mean, boiling oil. That must be the Daniel experience, right? Who was put in the furnace of fire? Eat it 7 times. But because he has an agenda, he has an assignment. God was putting on him until they threw him to the island of Patmos. Pot is not the place where they come. No, he won't come. He only come and make the pot like make it AC, right? Are we in the house, please? But throw him to the island of Patmos. Then he will meet me there. And they made that mistake and sent him to him. They said, this guy is not going to die like this one. You know, I just banish yourself. That island is an island away from, there's no way to come out of it. So he will die there. If we can't kill him through port, through anything, he will banish him in the island. As he was landing in Patmos. As he was landing in Patmos. Heaven opened. But he began, he began from where Jude and Peter stopped. Jesus met him before he was caught up. Can you see that? Are we in the house, please? He met him at the verge of access into the holiest. As the judge. You know what I'm saying? He came into the midst of the churches. Are we in the house, please? After he finished with the judges, he heard another voice that said, come up here. Then he came up there, vision of God opened. He saw a throne set up. Are we in the house, please? So, what am I saying? We must be ready. Say, I must be ready. There are things we have not, they are there with us, but we didn't see the document of access. What can tell us that something is remaining? Something is remaining. So we became complacent in our place. And so evil came up with us there and rubbish us. But a time of ascension has come for us.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So you will now see that Revelation is the last book of prophecy. It's the last book of prophecy. Without this one, you can't complete it. 22 of Revelation. I'm just trying to let us know that, number one, the day is calibrated. And those part of the day is tagged with their prophecies. Amen. And we must assess the prophecies if we will travel through the day. Or else we'll be stranded. We'll be stranded. We go nowhere. It's not an assumption. Well, whatever they will fly in the air, forget about it. You are not going to fly. Amen? Amen. Verse 9. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book. Say this book. Say this book. The sayings of this book. I know every book is sealed by a covenant. It's sealed by a testament. That's why they have to open the testament in heaven. Okay, every book. Remember when Paul was teaching about the new covenant? It is the blood that seals the book. The blood enjoins the people to the book. Amen. Praise God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Seal not the sayings. So what he says saying is the teaching or doctrine of the book, of this book. This book is not this book. It's Revelation. It's not this book. It's Revelation. Book of Revelation. It's a book. It's a book. That's why it's called the Book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus, or the making of Jesus in a manner you have not known before. That is why John can come back and write a piece of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Nobody can say it. Nobody can say it. Because no one of them undo that revelation while they were in the body. That book. It was only John that knew emphatically. Clearly. Right? Rest of them move into it there and there. But it was not plain. John came with plainness. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same. The same. Was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. It took a man who handled that book. And also heard the sayings of the book. And also kept the sayings. It's blessing to even read it. To have others to read it. Then to hear it. Being preached. Then to keep the sayings. Are you with me today? So seek not the saying of the prophecy of this book. So it's the book of what? Prophecy. It's the book of the last prophecy. It's the book of the prophecy of God. That's why it's not easy to teach Revelation. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's see. Verse 17. And the spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto it, unto these things, God shall add unto him the plague that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. So it's the prophecy of this book. It's also the book of this prophecy. So, for us, God expects us to handle the books one by one. What did I say? So, God has to raise ministers who can take the book one by one. The thing is mixed up here. Even the last one that's written here has its members all in scriptures. This is just like the door into that domain. Actually, it's a domain. But this writing here is a door. So also the rest are here and there. So the reason for resting ministers is to rest men who are graced to be able to undo and discern the prophecies and know their relevancies, because they are meant for access, or they are meant for coming. Say coming.
Coming.
I can't hear you say coming.
Coming.
They are meant for coming, or for they are for comers. There's one part of them I wanted to talk about before, but there's a part of the prophecy itself that is the dawn. It's called the coming. Remember I said, for receive from God glory and honor. Okay, no, a verse before that, place. Can I see that place? Go back one verse. Yeah, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord. The power of Christ. The coming is the everlasting door. The Lord will not come until there is coming. The coming. The churches are prepared, are raised to wait for the coming. Go and read Paul's writings. The job of Paul is to raise men who will be waiting for the coming. Waiting for the coming is not. Amen. Say, I'm waiting for the coming of the Lord. It's not like I'm not committing sin again. I want to wait for the coming. That's not. The coming itself is the message. It's a prophecy. Coming. I like church of our bureau. It's coming. When I remember his promises, I shout. It's coming. The coming of the Lord. Which they call rapture. Coming is not rapture. What did I say? Hear me again, say it again. When I have time again, I want to pick that place coming and explain it more. Are you blessed this morning? Are you sure? I believe strongly that heaven is here this morning to push us in the waters. I'm too sure that many of these ministers are ready to blow this place. As they're hearing me now, there things are pop. But we are going to take time to receive from them. Amen. Hallelujah. Can Ola come and take us some songs this morning before we leave? Can we appreciate the Lord for what you have heard this morning? Let's appreciate the Lord for it. Give the Lord glory and praise. Let it dissolve in us. Let the material dissolve in us. We're going to have time again to go and Meshkabali and Dabana, Roshkabali and Dabana, Reshkabat, Libraha, Dabalia Toy, Roshkabat, Libraha, Dabalia, Rakabota, Siapani, Masinaba. Lord, we thank you. We give you glory.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.